Brishus Rabbanim. The middle brachas of Rosh Hashanah, Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, are in many ways the highlight. They are what's most unique. Rosh Hashanah is the only time all year long that we have a 9 brachas Shemoneh Esrei. Often we have 7, often we have 18, 19. But when else, other than Rosh Hashanah Musaf, we have a 9 brachas Shemoneh Esrei. And not only is it unique in that way, but as we know, it's the most significant in terms of the mitzvah shofar. And it may even, Rishonim discusses that the Rabbanan, that Daraisa, it may well be a mitzvah Daraisa to not only to blow the shofar, but intertwine the shofar with the psukim of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. And this becomes an incredibly significant context. So if we're seeking to understand the davening on Rosh Hashanah more deeply, looking to those central brachas of the Rosh Hashanah Musaf definitely seems like a good place to start. And when we think about those brachas, so the first two we can more or less understand where they're driving. Certainly Malchus V'Kadosh Baruch Hu is a very central theme throughout Rosh Hashanah, and the notion of accepting the all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seeking to align our ratzon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and seeking to accept our role as Avdei Hashem, that's obviously a very central concept. Zichronos, thinking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is well aware of what we do and what we think and where we're at, that we understand as well. The bracha of Shofros is a little curious. Obviously, we're blowing Shofar in Rosh Hashanah, and the truth is when the Gemara in the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah presents the concept of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, the Gemara makes shofar sound more like a tool for the other two. The Gemara says, "Imru lefanei malchus, you're going to recite pesukim of malchus, kadesh tam lichunei aleichem." That's going to be part of the process of being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon ourselves. And zichronos, kadesh yal zichroneichem lefanei. We're going to say zichronos to hopefully in a positive way present the memories of ourselves of the last year to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uva meh, and with what? The shofar. Offhand, it sounds like there's a theme of Malchus, the theme of Zichronos, right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu in the abstract, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, and then Zikaron presumably is the way in which he interacts with us. And then Shofar is the tool that we use for the other two. But the problem is, but we actually say Psukim of Shofros. It's not just that we blow the Shofar in conjunction with speaking about Malchus and speaking about Zichronos, we say Psukim of Shofros also. So why? What's that all about? So maybe you'll say, okay, it's to highlight the mitzvah of shofar. The mitzvah of shofar is not only going to blow shofar in conjunction with the two major themes, but let's also articulate the mitzvah of shofar. The problem is that you actually open the machzer and look at the mitzvah, at the bracha of shofars. It doesn't say that much about the mitzvah of shofar. We all know how it starts. At neglesa banan kvodecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to us in the cloud, begins the opening of the bracha. Each of these three brachas has an opening, psukim in the middle, and then a close. So the opening is all about Mamre Har Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us at Mamre Har Sinai and taught us the Torah and so on and so forth. And that sort of, that transitions us into the first set of three psukim. Each of the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros has three psukim of Chumash, three of Ksuvim from Tehillim, three of Nevi'im, and then a closer back from Chumash, a total of 10 psukim. So we sort of struggle to understand why is the opening about Mamre Har Sinai? That was an episode in Jewish history where there was a shofar, but that's presumably not what the bracha is about. Bracha is not Shavuos, this is Rosh Hashanah. You expect the opener to be about shofar, about the mitzvah of shofar, about shofar Rosh Hashanah. And then you say, well, it transitions us into the first set of psukim, the three psukim of Chumash, which, by the way, are all about Mamre Har Sinai. But that just begs the question, well, why are those at Mamre Har Sinai? Why not have the three psukim from Chumash be psukim about the mitzvah of shofar, shofar Rosh Hashanah? We don't lack psukim in Chumash that just talk about shofar in the context of Rosh Hashanah. Yom Teruah, Zichron Teruah, there's plenty to use. Now, the entire opening of the bracha, the psicha, and the three psukim from Chumash have what seems at first to be an odd focus on Mamre Har Sinai and Matan Torah rather than on shofar per se. So you could have said the following. Maybe one way of looking at it would be the Rav Yosef Albo is one of the Rishonim who wrote extensively on the topic of Ikari Amuna, the Ani Mamans, and he sought to think about the more or less the same content that the Rambam divided into 13 Ani Mamans into instead into three. We often intertwine Rav Yosef Albo Sefer Ikarim and the Rambam 13 Ani Mamans by thinking about the 13 Ani Mamans as three categories. The first five are about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rambam breaks it down into specifics. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one and he has no body. He's the only one to whom we should address tefillah and so on and so forth. Then the next four, Ani Mamin 6, 7, 8, and 9, are the second set. And those are about Torah. We believe in Nevuah, that God communicates with people, specifically with Moshe Rabbeinu. And to Moshe Rabbeinu, he uniquely conveyed Torah, a Torah which is durable and lasting forever. So the first set of five are about Hashem. The second set of four are about Torah, Nevuah, and Torah. And then the last four are about the consequences of Torah, Schar V'Yonash. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what we do, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will reward and punish in general, and specifically, Yemos HaMashiach and Tchias HaMeisim. That's where Yosef Alba looks at it. Overall, three concepts. Hashem, what is this Hashem in whom we believe? Torah, Nevuah, and Torah from Hashem, Torah and Hashemayim, and finally, Schar V'Yonash. So I believe as Yosef Alba himself points out in his Sefer Ikarim, and others Sfarim quote this subsequently, that Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofar's corresponds. The Malchus is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zichronos is about Schar V'Yonash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what we do, and there are consequences, we hope, good consequences for good actions. And Shofros, well, that's the middle chunk is Torah, Torah Min HaShemayim. And after all, that is how the bracha opens. The bracha opens with a focus on Mamon Har Sinai, on Matan Torah. So Yosef Albo says, there you have it. Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, Hashem, Schar V'Yonash, and Torah. But again, that just begs the question that that's not Shofar. So that's Torah also. We could have imagined that there should be three central brachas, Malchios, Zichronos, and Mitzvos. Malchios, Zichronos, and Torah. We would understand that well. But we call them Shofros. And the later psukim aren't about Mamon Har Sinai, just the opening three psukim from Chumash. As a matter of fact, if you look at the end of the bracha of Shofros, it's also curious, but in a different direction. The end of the bracha of Shofros, certainly the last set of psukim, the three psukim from Nevi'im are all about Shofar Limos Mashiach, the Shofar of Geula. And so on and so forth. It's the Shofar of Geula. So they also, why not? The first shofar is about Mamon Har Sinai, the last shofar is about Geula. So the bracha isn't all about Mamon Har Sinai. If anything, if Geula would have belonged from a Yosef Albo perspective together with the Zichronos, it's part of the Schar V'Yonash theme. So something more is going on when it comes to shofar. So yes, certainly if Yosef Albo says the first theme that's highlighted in the bracha is the theme of Mamon Har Sinai, but that's not what the bracha as a whole is about. So how do you pull it together? What is the bracha of Shofros? How does it pull all these pieces together? On the one hand, you have the Mamon Har Sinai at the beginning, Geula at the end, and somehow it's a bracha about Shofar. And it's worth noticing Shofar as a tool. Remember where we began? The Gemara said, Malchios highlight the theme of Hamlachas Hashem. Zichronos highlight the theme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu noticing us. Ubameh b'shofar. Shofar is a tool. It's an instrument. It's a vehicle to get us somewhere. So perhaps the bracha of shofars is really about the power of shofar as an instrument. Maybe that's what this bracha is unpacking. I came across a fantastic piece on the bracha of shofars at the end of the first volume of Sifsei Chaim and the Yom Tov. Sifsei Chaim is a sefer that records the insights of Reb Chaim Friedlander, who for many, many years was a mashkiach in Panevish Yeshiva, and gave very insightful shmuzin throughout the year, and particularly in advance of Yom Tovim. The first volume is about the Yom Tovim of Elul and Tishrei, and at the end, they put into writing shiurim that he had given on the machzor. Apparently, his son-in-law writes that throughout his decades at Panevish, Rav Chaim Friedlander felt that a major part of his misima, a major part of his mission, was to alert the boys to the significance of davening. And one of the ways he did that was by giving shiurim. Apparently, over the course of his years there, he went through the entire city and the entire machzor. He gave Be'er Tefillah shiurim. This was not elementary school. He felt that this was very significant for people who are more mature. And they were all recorded, and they published the shiurim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Machzor. So he has a fascinating insight into the bracha of Shofros, which he bases on comments of the Ramchal, of Moshe Chaim Lutzato, famous to us as the author of Nesiyas Yesharim, of Derech Hashem. He quotes one of his lesser-known works, the Mamar HaChachma. And he says the following. So he says that he develops the idea that the power of shofar is, as in the Ramchal's language, lichpos hara ulchazek hatov. The power of shofar as an instrument, in terms of how it impacts us, is to turn away that which is bad, turn away that which is wrong, and to highlight that which is powerful. To bend over, to curl up the evil, and to reinforce and strengthen the good. Lichpos hara ulchazek hatov. Earlier today, I had a chance to learn the comments of the Sefer HaChinuch with some of you. In Mitzvah Taf Hei, Parshas Pinchas, he discusses the mitzvah of shofar. And Sefer HaChinuch, who lived several centuries before the Ramchal, develops a similar idea. He talks about the two ways in which the listening to the shofar impacts us. He says, number one, Rosh Hashanah has a lot of work to do, so you need, so to speak, music that will energize us. It says a person is doing something physically strenuous, whether it's going to war or maybe something friendlier. We think about it. You have a hard workout, so you have a soundtrack. You have a soundtrack that energizes you. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, we need a soundtrack to energize us for the hard work of Rosh Hashanah, to me'orer our kochos. And then he says the other angle, is Sefer HaChinuch writes, is that there's profound symbolism in the main part of Tkiyah Shofar. The Tkiyos are the bread that sandwiches the center, which is the Trua. We have three versions of Trua, which we call Shevarim Trua and Shevarim Trua. What they all have in common is that they're broken sounds. The highlight is the broken sound. And Sefer HaChinuch writes that the second major power of the Shofar, in addition to being the soundtrack that energizes us, is that it's the symbolism of the broken sound is reminding us that that's the work we need to do, is to break our Yetzer Hara, to break out of the shackles in which the Yetzer Hara enslaves us, to turn ourselves around from being slaves who are slaves to our appetites to being people who control our appetite, who can indulge at will rather than being forced to just follow along the way our appetites lead us. So the power of the shofar, Sefer HaChinuch writes, is the spiritual soundtrack to energize us, to do good, and the symbolism of the broken sound to remind us to break our baser side. That's exactly what the Ramchal says. It's l'chazek hatov and l'chpos hara. And the way the Ramchal presents it, it almost sounds like the malach of Borer. As you were sort of, it's, the power of shofar is to sort of sift out what's right and what's wrong, along the lines of what Moshe Tzvi was saying before about Emes. The power of the shofar sort of allow us to sift out the good and the bad, and to be able to highlight and reinforce the good and curl up that which is wrong. So Rav Chaim Friedlander suggests that if you look at shofar with that perspective, so then the entire bracha of shofros is one unified whole. You have the opening theme is Mamar Har Sinai. The middle theme, the psukim from Tehillim, are about shofar, largely in a contemporary context. And the end of the bracha, the psukim from Nevi'im, are about shofar in the future. Etc. So Chaim Frina suggests all these three steps, past, present, and future, Mamar Har Sinai, present day shofar, and then the shofar of Geula, and Geula in general, because the Chasimah Sabracha goes beyond just blowing of the shofar. It takes us deeper into what Geula, what Yimot HaMashiach will look like in a perfected Olam Hazeh. So he suggests all these three are focusing on different aspects of that work, of the L'chazek HaTov and L'chbos HaRa. He says, look, going back to the very beginning of human spiritual history, in Gan Eden Kodem Achet, so the Svarim described that we had an internalized Yetzer Tov, we had an external Yetzer HaRa. We really had a lot of clarity about what's right, what's wrong, what's Emes, what's Sheker. Adam Arish, Adam and Chava ate of the Eitz Hadas, and everything became confused. And everything became spiritually hazy. That was fixed for the first time at Mamar HaSinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, and that was a tool that allowed us to have clarity. The Maharal comments that when the Gemara describes how Kadosh Baruch Hu holds a mountain over our heads and forces us to accept the Torah, Maharal says it doesn't mean literally that there was a mountain floating over our heads. Hashem could have done that. God can do any miracle he wants. But Maharal says he thinks that the Gemara means something much more profound. God was holding a gun to our heads. Right? In that sense I just said, none of you imagined that literally there was this 100-meter howitzer floating in the air. Hashem could have done that. He can do any miracle he wants. But you understand that to say Hashem held a gun to our head probably means metaphorically Hashem coerced us. So the Maharal says that's what the holding the mountain, that's why they said hold a gun to our head. 2,000 years ago they said hold a mountain to our head. That this means Hashem forced us. But the Maharal says it was much more profound. It's this sort of external, you better or else I'll smash you. It was something much more intrinsic, Maharal says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for a moment, allowed everything to be totally clear. There was this one moment where all the, by design, Olam Hazeh is unclear. By design, it's often hard to see what's right, what's wrong. Otherwise, there would be no Nisayon. There would be no challenge to Olam Hazeh. Mm-hmm. There was this one moment, Maharal says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just peeled everything away. I mean, there's one moment of total spiritual clarity. So it would have made about as much sense to not accept the Torah as to walk off a cliff. For a normal, well-adapted, healthy person, if you're hiking on a ridge trail, an escarpment along a cliff, theoretically one has the Bechir Chavsh to walk off the cliff, but why would you? That's absurd. That's an absurd choice. So for that one moment, it was just as clear to Kalashol to not accept the Torah. I mean, we could say no, but that would be as absurd as walking off a cliff. So there's this intense clarity at the time of Mamar Har Sinai, a clarity which faded with the Chet HaEgel, but never went back to quite as unclear as before. Because although we had lost that intense clarity of Mamar Har Sinai, we had something we didn't have before Mamar Har Sinai, that was the Torah. So we had the tool with which to regain clarity. We had the Kadosh Baruch Hu given us the tools that are the Torah to figure things out. Life is confusing, life is complicated, but here's a start. You have a Torah, you have a guide, you have a system, something, a toolbox we can use, l'chpos hara u'l'chazek hatov. And that's why, let's turn the other way around, that's why there was a shofar at Mamon Har Sinai, to signify that Mamon Har Sinai was this process of sorting out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, I'm giving you tools to undo the Eitz Hadas, I'm giving you tools to be able to sift things out and strengthen your better side. And that's why we begin with Mamar Har Sinai. That's why the bracha of shofars begins with the psicha and psukim of Mamar Har Sinai, because that was shofar in practice. Then the middle, the psukim and neviim talk about shofar in contemporary life, post Mamar Har Sinai, and then finally, it's not for naught that at the end, the final movement of the bracha is the shofar shel Mashiach. Or let's turn it around. Maybe we could say more essentially, it's not for naught that Mashiach will be heralded by a shofar. It's for the same reason. Because Yimos HaMashiach is a perfect, is Olam Hazeh perfected. Olam Hazeh the way it's supposed to be. Still, as Rambam quote from the Amor Shmuel, the physical world won't change, science will still work, technology will still work, but morally, we'll have total clarity. That's what Rambam describes at the very end. And the Neviim were interested in a Mala Aretz Deus Hashem kamar liyam mechasim. The tzaddikim throughout generation are interested in Mashiach primarily not because of the way in which life will be simpler, but because life will be spiritually so much clearer. The same Olam Hazeh physically, but morally, spiritually perfected. That will be the final achievement of the work of a shofar. Will be Yemos HaMashiach. So the entire bracha is really tracing throughout history, from the past, Ma'amar Har Sinai, through the ongoing work of the present, to the climax, the pinnacle, success in the future, Yemos HaMashiach, of the work of the shofar, which is to sort things out. And the truth is, then we understand as well, I would suggest, the way the Gemara presents it. Malchios is this theme, Zichronos is this theme, Ubameh Bashofar. Because the shofar is a tool, and it's a tool specifically for the themes of Malchus and Zichronos. It's a tool for us to be able to try to discern HaKadosh Baruch Hu as best we can, Shetam Lichuni Aleichem, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives, to reshape our lives around the model that He has for us, and to understand that He sees us as well. Sheyal Zichronechem Lefanai. So with that in mind, we understand that the place that the bracha of shofros has, it gives us a sense of the weight of the work we have to do, and a sense of optimism that there's so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted us with, and so much that we can do in terms of improving ourselves, to have ongoing process, and it's a process that's going on for a long time, is going to go. Yet for more time, I did most of Mashiach. We hope that end will be soon. But we have the obligation and the opportunity to participate ourselves in the work of shofar. I'm going to end with the one final closing vart, quick insight, the beginning of the bracha. Ata neglesa banan kvodecha al am katshach al adabeima. The first presentation in the bracha, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you appeared to us within your holy cloud. So Mechai Friedlander says, that's an ironic sort of paradox. You made yourself clear in a cloud. You ata niglesa banan kvodecha. Usually when things are cloudy, they're not clear. You would be nigla by moving the cloud away. Ata niglesa banan kvodecha. Funny. There was Gilui, there was an Anan, but to put them together, what's that supposed to mean? So he suggests, he gives a fantastic mashal. A little over a year ago, we got to enjoy a solar eclipse. If you want to see the solar eclipse, what do? To see it more clearly, you put on sunglasses. Well, it's the same paradox. You want to see more clearly, you put on sunglasses? The answer is absolutely, because to see it without sunglasses, it would be way too much. We couldn't handle that. It would just knock us out, then we couldn't see anything. Put on the sunglasses, then you're able to see as much as you can. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdo, he said, without the Anan, it would be too much. And that's the way Olam Hazeh is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally gloves his hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally masks himself, both because that allows for Nisayon, and because a full Gilui Shechina, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Parsha Kisisa, it will be too much. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, clouded things a little bit, gave us the sunglasses so that we could look and could take in as much as we're capable of doing. Ata neglesa banan kvodecha. Sometimes the fact that things are hazy is a chesed, because it gives us the opportunity to see more, ironically, than we otherwise would. Ksivach simetayva gudki ben sher.